just going on Tafelberg.
Okay.
Yeah, just working with Tafelberg first. We were expecting a financial model to be published by the province in November. And it was, so basically the financial model was to see whether affordable housing, social housing would be possible on the Tafelberg site. You've seen the and how it could be cross-subsidized, and whether there were grants, like state grants available to construct it and to maintain it, etc., etc. And they did, in mid-November, they published the feasibility study or the financial model. And then after that, we started getting, putting together like a task team or a reference group model thing of like experts who could kind of help us put together a response to this financial model. So like in that, like social housing institution managers, like type, like experts basically, like Malcolm McCarthy, who's with National, like architects, planners, like it was a was quite a big group that we put together. And then they kind of pointed, so they basically helped us by assess the model. So the province had suggested that, had proposed that 270 units could be built on the site. And that basically if they go this route, that they would lose the 135 million that they would have gained from the sale of the site. And they said that the maintenance of the social housing units could be cross subsidized by building like retail space and selling it. And then they said that they would sell the heritage sites for, and they called it a community facility, so to bring in money there. And then it wasn't a very imaginative proposal, so let me try and see if I can draw it out. So this is the school site. This is like, you know, the tennis courts and swimming pools. So it's like an L shape. So this side to this side, it would be the social housing units. This side would be the retail space. So they'd sell this, they'd sell this, and they'd construct these. And then they proposed in the model that, okay, so social housing funds come from the national government, right? Through, from the Human Settlements Department. They give money to like a company called the SHRA. What is it called? SHRA? Social Housing Regulatory Authority. And the social, so SHRA gives money to social housing institutions for the construction of a social housing project. So now the money is at a set, so it comes, so the, and the, that fund, the fund that they give is called the the restructuring capital grant. And it, I think currently it's like at 135,000 rand. I mean, I could be wrong here. I just need to confirm how much. Like it's a very small sum per unit. Right? And then there's another subsidy that comes from the province called the I think it's called the institutional subsidy or something like that. So the, these two grants for the construction, and it's also quite minimal. So I think a unit using these two sums together is less than 300,000 rand to construct, which is not a lot of money. But then there's been talks for a long time now about increasing the grants, as well as increasing the band of people that qualify for social housing. So right now it's like if you earn between 1,500 and 7,500, you can get access to social housing. But usually social housing institutions like to go for, and 1,500 to 3,500 is the lower band. 3,500 to 7,500 is the upper. And they love playing with this 3,500 to 7,500. And like you find that there aren't a lot of people that earn 1.5 that get access. So anyway, the proposal now, or the conversation has been to increase it from, to push up the 7,500 to 15,000 to target the gap market, which is a good thing. So also, it's better for cross-subsidization and all of that. Anyway, so then in the province's proposal, they'd worked on the assumption that the grants had been increased, which was, it was weird. It was just weird. It was just a, it was weird. Like, we didn't know whether or not to be apprehensive or to take it as a good thing, because maybe it's an indication that it's actually going to happen. And, but, to, so these things go together, the grants and and the bands, but they didn't increase the bands. So they increased the grants, but they didn't increase the bands, okay. Which is weird. Anyhow, so then we respond to say, well, you know, fantastic, well done, but this is how we imagine, like, we could do so much more on this. Let me get you our submission just to show you what
thank you. Is.
It's actually really interesting to read through this because this document. So this was our submission to
okay.
put together. We're just trying to see what people can use. So this was their model. So the retail, so sold, and these are the units.
Yes.
And this also kind of just basically decimates their proposal because it was like, they were like calculation errors, bro. Like 1 + 1 did not equal 2. For them. Like it was like so many errors. And then our proposal. So we created 2 scenarios.
Yeah.
One is that you could have 297 rather than 270.
Okay.
We gave the total cost of construction. And then we said as well, the most important component, so we talked about how you can cross subsidize, and that would basically be creating market residential.
Okay.
That you can either, a portion of which you can sell and a portion of which you can rent out, which kind of keeps money coming in all the time. And most importantly is that you would get, they would get a 75,000 rand payment rather than this zero. Because we knew that when they start saying zero, it's like, wow, we're not going to benefit from this because we really need this money.
Yep.
So then we gave a second one.
Which is very good.
Yeah, thank you. Can like Julian's girlfriend partner actually did this, right? These designs, they're so cool. I love them, these sketches. And then we took it a little bit further with 316 social housing units, 121 market rate, and that kind of same thing, like you can cross-subsidize by doing here, or you can increase the bulk. I think that was one of the most important things, is like you're underplaying what you can do on this site. And equally, you can get like a 76 million rand cash payment if you kind of go in this direction. Anyway, do all this work, it was so beautiful.
Thank you.
That will explain much better than I am.
Thank you.
So the first section just basically gives you the background, like city planning in Cape Town generally, the background of that site. The second part goes through the province's feasibility study and what was problematic with it. And the third part is like, this is what you could do.
The vision for it.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was due, so at the beginning of this year, they asked if the purchaser asked if they could extend. You guys have a nerve. They asked if they could. So it was due on, submissions were due on the 31st of January.
Okay.
And then the purchaser, like on the 20th, asked if they could get an extension so that they can still work on their model or whatever. To the 15th of February. Anyway, the province obviously allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was due. And then at the, in March, mid-March, they basically came out with a response that actually they're going to go ahead with the sale. And you know that these things are never quiet, right? Like, I'm saying it very quickly, glossing over it. But like there was a lot of hype and drama and all of that in the middle of it all. And Bromwell is still happening as well during this period.
Okay.
But I'll come tell you about it. Just
looking back to Bromwell.
We'll come back to Bromwell. So, like, I think it was the 22nd of March or something. They basically say, no, we're going to go ahead and sell the site. For the following reasons. Firstly, also they start off by saying, when we're gonna sell this site, but we are going to earmark the Helen Bowden Nurses Home for affordable housing. That's the house that we've occupied now.
Okay.
AKH, and also Woodstock Hospital site for affordable housing. That's the site we've also occupied. So those two sites.
Okay.
And then, so that's kind of like the thing, this plaster over the wound. And then they're like, so the reasons that we decided to go ahead with the sale is, firstly, Sea Point does not fall within a restructuring zone. Like, a restructuring zone is what, like, an area needs to fall within to qualify for subsidies, right? So that's one side. So that, like, it falls outside. And, oh, my favorite, in the letter that they wrote to Mandisa, they're like, we were made aware by the purchaser that the site falls outside the restructuring zone. They don't mention anything else about any of the submissions other than the purchaser pointed out that the site falls outside of the restructuring zone, but fine. The second thing they say is that we need the funds for the sale of the site to build offices for the education department, which is something that they've been hiding forever. Like, for the last year, they've been saying that it's for pro services, which is, like, basically... Only after, like, a lengthy investigation did we find out where that site, where that money was going to go to. So, obviously, now they put it out there. And then there was a third one. I'm trying to remember now. I'm trying to recall. Oh, yes. National Treasury has given us a directive that we need to use our assets to kind of... basically, like, yeah, use our assets for whatever kind of priorities we deem to be necessary, like, kind of thing. And we decided to sell the site to fund this office, etc., etc. So we have a National Treasury directive. We need to build this office block, and it falls outside of restructuring. So immediately after we got this, we wrote to the Department of Human, the National Department of Human Settlements, to ask about this restructuring zone, because for the longest time, we thought, okay, so the restructuring zones are like, there's like a Milnerton restructuring zone kind of thing. So there's a social housing project in Brooklyn, which is within the Milnerton suburb.
Okay.
And then there's another restructuring zone known as CBD and surrounds.
Okay.
So automatically, when you think of CBD here and surrounds, and Sea Point is like, right, that's a surround.
Yeah.
Like, it's right there. It's like less than 5Ks. And everybody, like, people in the city, people in the province, have always alluded to CBD and surrounds, including Tafelberg, but it's never been written down anywhere. So we wrote to the Department of Human Settlements, National, and they basically responded. So our thing was, like, firstly, we'd like to verify whether or not Sea Point falls outside the restructured zone of the CBD and surrounds, and if so, if you'd be willing... If you would agree to a rezoning of sorts, like, if you could place it within the CBD and surrounds. So to do that, basically the city would need to apply, the province would need to support it, and it needs to be gazetted by the national department. City wrote a letter saying that if you want Tafelberg to fall within a restriction zone, we would fully support it. The national department wrote back and said, oh, we also assume that Tafelberg fell within the CBD and surround, but if it doesn't, then of course we'll support it. So now who's the villain? It's the province. So you are your own stumbling block in all of this. So that was one of the responses that we gave. And then we wrote to National Treasury to say, the response that we got from the province was that you gave them a directive that they could use their funds to do projects like the Dog Street project. How does that balance out with, like, social issues? I mean, you talk about densifying, because they talk about it a lot in Treasury. You have an entire program dedicated to kind of upscaling cities and making them more accessible. So, like, this directive contradicts completely what we know your programs to be. But, like, we said no such thing. That was not a directive that we gave. We said this, like, we don't understand where that would come from. So basically every argument that they proposed was basically slated. So it's just been this back and forth in the media about how, and they're the only ones standing for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a city that says, the municipality that's like, that site should have been reserved for social housing. The Human Settlements National Department that says it should have been. National Treasury is a big deal. Like, it's a huge deal. It's seen as one of the more impartial, like, national institutions. I mean, with the National Department of Human Settlements, you can bring in party politics and then it just negates the argument. But with National Treasury, even you really can't.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, but you know, Helen Ziller, like, stuck to guns, this is the right decision. Anyway, so right now we're at a stage where we